Welcome to today's deep dive. So imagine trying to fix a leaky roof, but you can't buy new shingles.
Right, because the repair funds are completely gone.
Exactly. The neighborhood association spent it all bailing out the local power company. And there's also a Category 5 hurricane actively tearing through your living room.
Yeah, that is essentially the vibe of the Western Cape's 2024, 2025 budget.
Right, which was delivered by Finance Minister Deirdre Bartman. She actually uses this exact meteorological metaphor.
Oh, right, warm and cool air colliding.
Exactly. Like how global headwinds, inflation, are violently crashing into local hurdles like load shedding.
And the math just leaves them no choice but to budget for a disaster. I mean, you can't calmly save for a rainy day when national pressures are literally blowing the roof
N
off.
no, you really can't, especially with global growth sluggish at, what, 3.2%?
Yeah, and South Africa is staring down a forecast of just 0.9%. Plus, you have this massive national debt projected to hit an astronomical R6.8 trillion by 2027 or 28.
R6.8 trillion. Wow. And the source speech points out a really startling number, which is a R590 billion national cut to health, education, and police.
Right, and the province's stated position is that this money is being redirected to fund state-owned enterprise bailouts.
Yeah, they say that's the exact reason they're dealing with an R8.4 billion cut to their equitable share since 2021.
Which is basically their legally required slice of the national tax pie.
Right. So looking at these numbers, is this dynamic just, the usual political blame shifting between spheres of government, or are regional governments actually being mathematically squeezed by this national debt?
Well, the math reveals a pretty severe structural squeeze. I mean, provinces rely on the national government for over 95% of their revenue.
Wait, 95%?
Yeah. So when national debt stabilization forces that equitable share to shrink, the regions have to absorb the shock entirely. The national pie is shrinking, but regional populations and the demand for basic services are growing every single day.
So if the national tap is turning off, the province really only has one option left, which is to make their own money.
Exactly. They claim to be a lighthouse in a turbulent ocean.
Right. And they are leaning hard into growing their own tax base, like taking that 53% surge in international tourism.
Which is huge.
It is. And the fascinating part isn't just the number, it's how they are actively using sectors like tourism to organically build an economy because the national well is dry.
Right.
They're targeting a R1 trillion economy and 600,000 new jobs by 2035 through this growth for jobs strategy.
But those 2035 targets require really intense, deliberate planning in the few sectors they can actually influence. The minister even quotes Louisa May Alcott in the speech.
Oh, what was the quote?
She says, "I am not afraid of storms, for I am learning how to sail my ship."
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and they point to South Africa's lowest official unemployment rate at 19.6%,
Yeah.
and an 8.7% decrease in the murder rate as proof that this localized sailing is actually working.
But wait, if 95% of their money still comes from the national pot, relying on provincial own receipts, things like liquor licenses and hospital fees,
Right.
that's like trying to pay your mortgage using the coins you found in your couch cushions. Is that enough to actually sail the ship?
No. It is undeniably just a tiny paddle. I mean,
Unbelievable.
those own receipts make up less than 5% of their total revenue envelope. It is a supplementary source, not a replacement engine. They simply don't have the legal authority to collect the kind of taxes needed to replace that shrinking national slice.
Which means long-term 2035 goals are great, but right now they have to survive the storm.
Exactly.
So looking at their 2024 adjustment budget, it outlines R1.72 billion in immediate financial triage. You have R1.198 billion going straight to infrastructure.
Which is mostly disaster rehabilitation from floods
Right.
and throwing up rapid school bills.
Right. Then R250 million goes to education just to cover employee compensation pressures, and R230.5 million goes to health purely to keep up with medical inflation.
The pressures are just immediate and unavoidable. You can't ignore a washed out road, and you can't ignore the rising cost of basic medical supplies or paying teachers what they were promised.
But if practically every cent of this emergency money is just swallowed by basic inflation, flood damage, and paying teachers, where is the money for actual innovation? Are they future-proofing at all, or just bailing water?
Well, the reality is, very little is left for pure innovation when you are stuck in triage mode. I mean, they are trying.
Are they?
Yeah, they're exploring alternative financing with the World Bank and looking into AI for predictive analytics. But the vast bulk of that R1.72 billion is just patching the hull of the ship so it doesn't sink today.
This is exactly why government budgeting isn't just dry math. The collision of these financial and literal storms dictates whether a teacher gets hired in your local school or whether a bridge gets rebuilt after a flood strikes your town.
Yeah. The minister closes the speech with a rather poignant thought. She says, "Storms make trees take deeper roots."
That is a powerful image, but it really leaves you pondering. As extreme weather events and severe economic constraints become our new normal, are future governments going to be stuck permanently in this crisis management triage mode? Or will these relentless hurricanes genuinely force the structural innovations needed to grow deeper, more resilient roots?